Dear friends, in complete dependence upon our Lord to help us to consider aright his holy and sacred word, let us your prayerful attention by way of text to that well-known 25th verse of Matthew chapter 15, which we read. Matthew chapter 15, verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Dear friends, so often we may have heard sermons preached from this word. And God forbid that I should just be a duplication of them. I was tried whether we should have this word this afternoon. But it was written over the first hymn we sang. I hadn't noticed it before. Lord, help me. Dear friends, we all need it, don't we? It's a very, very often expressed prayer in our times of need. Our late deacon, Mr. Roos, used to mention the four steps up into this pulpit. He says, Graham, you need that word, Lord, help me now. And so we prove the faithfulness of our Lord as we pray unto him in a time of our need. This is not the only place, of course, that we find such an expression. Lord, help me. We find it in the Old Testament, we find it in the New Testament, and we especially find it in the Psalms. Sometimes it's personal, sometimes it's collective. David prayed the prayer several times in his Psalms. Help me, O Lord my God. We find that several times. David had much trouble and difficulty, didn't he? Vain was the help of man. He feared often for his life. He had the promise that he would be king of Israel. And all the troubles he had before that came to pass. Yes, the promise was sure. But the time certainly wasn't immediate, was it? And he asked, as he had to flee from King Saul. Oh, many of his psalms in the time of trouble. Help me, O Lord my God. And one time he had a specific cause to ask the Lord's help. He said, help Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Dear friends, what a prayer that is for today, isn't it? Help, Lord, for the godly man, Caesar. There seems to be such a falling away, doesn't there, of those not only attending the places of worship, but those who we could say are pillars within the church. Gracious, godly, spirit-taught men and women who are the strength of the earthly church. Help, Lord. Oh, it's vain for us to try and build it ourselves, isn't it? As the scripture says, they labour in vain that build it. The Lord must build the house. Therefore, help, Lord, The godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail from among the children of men. There's many things which cause us to pray this prayer, Lord, help me. My mind goes to a very early part of the scriptures, and well, towards the beginning of the kings of Israel and Judah, when Asa was faced with a great large enemy of the Ethiopians, twice the size of his own army. And they had chariots of steel and so forth. He said, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. Help us. Dear friends, there's no circumstances where this prayer does not apply. Help us. Well, those examples I've just mentioned are from the Old Testament. What about the New? We have a man, don't we, a father, bringing his son possessed by a devil, which used to throw him into the fire and into the waters to take his own life. And he brought him before the disciples whilst Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with three of his disciples. And when Jesus came down, he wanted to know what was going on. He knew what was going on, of course, but he asked them to declare it. And this man said he brought his son unto Jesus' disciples to cast out this devil, and they could not. But if thou canst do anything, have mercy upon us. If thou canst do anything. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. The man replied, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. Dear friends, is that our prayer? Oh, we need faith to believe, don't we? That faith which is the gift of God. Because it's the prayer of faith, dear friends, that prevails. And in our prayer, short prayers, help me. That to be prayers of faith, believing the Lord is able to help us. To do anything that is right in his sight. Nothing is too hard for him. Help us, O Lord our God. What's that one again in the Psalms? Did I mention it in prayer? Help us, O Lord our God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Dear friends, we could go on and on and on. Help me. Or the case here of this woman. It was very similar, wasn't it, to the case of that man, that father, whose son was possessed with the devil. This woman's son, was possessed with the devil. The difference being that he was a Jew. She was a Gentile. But Jesus had gone to the very extremity of Judea and Galilee. He'd gone into the borders of Syria. And she heard of Jesus. Mark's Gospel tells us that she heard of Jesus, and her young daughter was possessed with a devil. And she came unto Jesus and cried out unto him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. When she heard of Jesus, we read of another woman, don't we, who was troubled with that issue of blood, spent all her money upon physicians and grew no better, but rather grew worse when she heard of Jesus. Oh, dear friends, faith was imparted. And that's what we need, isn't it? We have different troubles. We have difficulties. We have things that affect us. Things perhaps we find very hard to manage ourselves, and perhaps at times things do get worse. Oh, faith. To believe in Jesus, that he can do all things for us. We think of Jairus. He came to Jesus. He put in his petition in. And Jesus said he would come and heal his daughter, and began to go towards the Jairus' house. But that woman with the issue of blood came. Jesus knew someone had touched him. There were delays, there were the crowds round about him. He could not just straightforward walk to this man's house. And they came and told him that through those delays, as we would call them, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? You know, sometimes in our matters, they get worse, even though we pray to the Lord to put them right. And therefore we're tempted to cease to pray. Why troublest thou the master any further? The matter now has gone too far. But Jesus said to Jairus, only believe. That wasn't easy, was it? But that's all he could do, all that was needful, only to believe by faith that the Lord can still work wonders, can still answer those prayers, can still do that which he was intended and promised to Jairus, I will come and heal her. Only believe. And dear friends, that'll be a cry for our help, won't it? Lord, help me. Help me to believe. Help me to trust. Help me to wait upon thee. I don't think we shall be very long between praying, Lord, help me in our circumstances, shall we? Have mercy upon me, O Lord, she first said. Thou son of David, she believed that Jesus was the son of David, the promised Messiah. The one who should come, how she'd learnt of this, we do not know, but we do not know how Bartimaeus, the blind beggar outside Jericho, had knew that Jesus was the son of David. But dear friends, it was revealed to them by the Lord that this was the Messiah, the one who was to come, the saviour of sinners. We need that revelation ourselves, don't we? We need that true revelation to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Saviour of sinners. Not just because we are told it, because we read of it in the Bible. But we know it through the exercise of faith. We know it in the answer to our prayers in the times of our need. Those sweet assurances. Oh, that Jesus is the Son of God, all power. Belongeth unto him in heaven and in earth to supply all of our need. Yes, to carry us through all the needful things of our earthly lives and to bless us with all the needful things for the good of our souls. O thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But oh, the mystery. Jesus answered her not a word. Some would say, oh, how unkind. How unjust. Did he not answer Bartimaeus when he cried out similarly, thou son of David? Did he not stop? Did he not ask him to be called? Then why did he not do this to the woman of Canaan? Dear friends, the Lord's ways are past finding out. He knows what he would do. You know, sometimes we have a need, we have a difficulty, and we place it before the Lord. But it's not in the depth of faith from our heart. Our cry is not completely right. We lay it before him as if perhaps a selfish child is asking a mother or a father for something they want, expecting that because they're loved by their parents, they will just immediately receive it and be given it. Sometimes those parents have to hold back, don't they? And to teach the child that everything just doesn't come at their demand. There has to be a more urgent need that will value that which they are given. And not just take it for granted. My dear friends, we do not know why the Lord did not answer this woman fully. All we can say, there was a purpose in it. And if we do not get our prayers answered straight away, for our time is always ready, dear friends, there's a purpose in it. We're to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon him. Have patience. To continue in prayer until that time is right. And it will be not only for the provision of our need, but the blessing of our soul. Now, don't we find that here with this woman? He answered her not a word, but she kept obviously praying or crying unto him concerning her case. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And the disciples, they were annoyed at her. She was following them. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Gentile. And they say to Jesus, send her away, for she crieth after us. Send her away. Well, dear friends, in our earthly nature, when something annoys us, we want it put away, don't we, quickly? This was an annoyance to the disciples. To have someone of this woman's constantly with them crying out, send her away. But Jesus had his purpose. Dear friends, it's exercise within this woman's heart to know that he was the son of David and that she had heard of him and had come to lay her matter before him in that measure of faith and trust. And hope. He wasn't going to send her empty away. Oh, dear friends, these things help us, don't they? A compassionate God, but in his time and his way. He said, I am come, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The house of Israel. They weren't just the sons of Jacob. They were in the flesh, but these are the spiritual Israel. Those who believe in Christ, have faith in him. The spiritual Israel. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and I came to save the lost sheep of Israel. I have come to find those that were lost. And this was the way he was going to find them. This is how he was going to find this woman. He was going to bring her at first into it, what seemed to be a deeper trouble. Oh, she put in her prayer. She believed in him. But she did not get any immediate answer. Dear friends, do you like that? Are you like that sometimes? Believe in Jesus, you know he can. Provide your need. And there's perhaps some disappointments come in the way and you don't get the answer you need. And you wonder why. and you can be easily tempted. Oh, he cannot supply my need. He does not hear my prayers. He is not a gracious God. He does not show me mercy. And you begin to fall. Faith begins to give way, and oh, you're almost ready to return to just to your own self and live unto yourself, even to say there is no God. But dear friends, if you're the Lord's, he won't let you fall that way. There may be the disappointments, there may be the waiting time, but the answer will come. Oh, look what he did to this woman. In causing her to wait, her cry changed. She didn't say, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She said, Lord, help me. In Mark's gospel, he puts it this way. She came and fell at his feet and worshipped him. Fell at his feet and worshipped him. Her heart, dear friends, was poured out before him. Her great need was more than just of a providential blessing. Her cry was now spiritual. Lord, help me. Oh, give me the answer to my need, my trouble. Heal my daughter and use it for the blessing of my soul. She worshipped him. Only he could do this thing. She wasn't pleading now lightly, was she? It was from the depth of her heart. The Lord knows how to cause us to pray aright in faith. But dear friends, look at the answer he gave her. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Dear friends, what an offence to call this woman in her need, crying for help, a dog. Oh, if that was done today, dear friends, there'd soon be some offence made and people would be seeking prosecutions of one and another, wouldn't they? But this was the word of Jesus. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She wasn't one of Abraham's seed. She was one of the heathen, one of the outcasts. But dear friends, did she take offence at this? No. Because, dear friends, where the gift of faith is given and the teaching of sins, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, one is nothing before a holy God. Oh, they're worse than dogs. They're worst of the worst. They're nothing before a holy God. What did Peter say when Jesus told them to launch into the deep? Well, launch forth, old way, let down the net. And Peter said to Jesus, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. Oh, and when that came to pass, Peter fell before Jesus at his knees, worshipped him, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O God. I'm not worthy to be in thy presence. I'm a sinner. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus, in his waiting and in his words to this woman, brought her to such a spot as that. Oh, she had a great need. But she had a greater need for the forgiveness of her sins. And in answer to his accusation that she was but a dog, it wasn't meet, it wasn't right to take the children's bread or the benefits of those for whom he'd come and to cast it to dogs, the evidence of his mercy and power. She said, "Truth, Lord, that's the truth. Oh, but the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Yes, I'm but a dog, but oh, just a crumb of thy power, a crumb of thy mercy, a crumb of thy goodness, a crumb of thy favours toward me, a poor sinful creature of this earth. Oh, will satisfy and provide all that I want. It will supply all of my need." Dear friends, that was the cry of her heart. And that was acceptable. That was acceptable to the Son of God. Here was a poor, needy sinner pleading for his mercy and to put that right which was causing her great grief. Now he gave her that sweet answer, didn't he? "O woman, great is thy faith." It wasn't of her own self. It was the teaching of the Spirit. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Then, friends, he came to save the lost sheep of Israel. And here was one. And he brought her to testify of it. And through that testimony that she was nothing and unworthy, as you say. Unworthy of the least of his mercies. Yet, she would receive it all. "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt." Dear friend, what an answer. And their daughter was healed in that selfsame hour. Mark says she returned home. And her daughter was there lying upon the bed, in peace and safety, cured from that evil spirit. Dear friends, these things are left on record, aren't they, for our learning. You know, we've all got our needs as we begin a new year. I'm sure you've got matters which trouble you and concern you, matters you want put right, and you may have prayed about them. You may have prayed about them for quite some time. But things have not got any better. They're still there. They're still troubling you. You still need those needs answering. Is it that we need to be brought humbly as nothing to the dear Saviour's feet? To worship him. To worship him in spirit and in truth. We need to let go all any evidence of our, any goodness of self, any righteousness of self. We have to put aside our self-will. We have to come exactly just as we are, guilty sinners, and pour out our heart before him. Lord, help me. Spiritually and providentially. Oh, this woman received that double blessing, didn't she? And dear friends, all the Lord's people have a double blessing. Well, what do we read of in Mark 40? "Comfort ye my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. For her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins." Wasn't that the case with this woman here? Isn't that the case we all need for our own selves? Double for all of our sins. A spiritual blessing in one sense, yes, and the providential blessing to confirm that the Lord is indeed mindful of us. Has pardoned our sins and blessed us in answer to our petitions. Or you look at that double for all of our sins, Christ being made a sinner in our room, place instead. A duplicate. Our sins laid upon him to bear them away. All these are our great needs, aren't they? And the Lord can sanctify our difficulties and our troubles providentially to bring us humbly to his feet and grant us the blessing of our souls. Oh, dear friends, I pray it'll be the case for all of us. Sanctify trouble to the blessing of our soul. O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Lord, help me. Just one thing comes to my mind before I close, and that's Hezekiah, the king of Judah, who was sick unto death. He wasn't ready to die. He got no children to put on the throne after him. Oh, the promise to David would come to an end. And Hezekiah had been a good living man. He'd been a good king, completely opposite to his father, Ahaz. He turned his face to the wall and prayed. He pleaded his own goodness, didn't he? He told the Lord all that he'd done and sought to do into the worship and glory of God. Like a crane and a swallow, so that he chattered. But then his heart was changed. He didn't plead what he'd done. He said, Lord, undertake for me. Almost another word of Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. And that word undertake is a deeper word than just help. That word undertake means be a surety for me. Pay the debt which I owe, which I cannot pay myself. I'm facing death. I cannot redeem my soul from corruption. Lord, undertake for me. Oh, what a cry that is. The Lord was ready to save him. The Lord heard that prayer. He said, he hath cast my sins behind his back. The Lord was ready to save me. Hezekiah then recovered, didn't he, from the sickness which he had. There was the double blessing, spiritual and providential. Now the one was used for the other. Dear friends, that's what we need, isn't it, in our lives. And as we come now to the beginning of a new year, now we need to know these sacred, solemn things for ourselves, for the good of our souls. Oh, do pray, Lord, help me. Help me to pray. Help me to look upon all things in a right way. Help me to pour out my heart before thee. Help me to confess my sins. Help me to commit all my way unto thee, all my needs. But do sanctify them to the good of my soul, that I may live unto thee to the honour and glory of thy name. Live under the shadow of thy wings, under the shadow of the Almighty, and then to dwell with thee in time forevermore. Dear friends, this is a prayer, isn't it, for the Lord to carry you. Carry you now, whatever our age, carry us down to hoar hairs. Ever to hear and answer our petitions for the blessing of our souls. Lord, help me. Dear friends, I pray the Lord will help us. He will help us as a church and congregation here through another year. He will help us by coming with prepared hearts to hear his voice. He will help us to sing his praises, making melody in our hearts up unto the Lord. Help us to determine to know nothing amongst us save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And to help us to remember all the goodness and mercy which has followed us all the days of our life. That he has not dealt with us after our sins. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. But no, he's preserved us. And oh, may it be. Through that preserving love, we find Christ in us, the hope of glory, the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Lord, help me. Amen.